So that marriage didn't turn out to be nearly as successful as Baldwin III had hoped. Baldwin III married a niece of Manuel I, Theodore Comnena, to secure naval aid. Now, his brother, Amalric I, likewise pursued a Byzantine marriage alliance. He married a grandniece of the Emperor Manuel I, a woman named Maria Comnena. And Amalric and Maria had a daughter called Isabel. She was a possible heir and ended up having an unfortunate career for husbands. But Amalric had to divorce his first wife, a very difficult, nasty woman, Agnes of Courtenay. And Agnes was the mother of two other children of Amalric, Sibylla and Baldwin IV, the famous leper king. And so this marriage arrangement proved quite complicated. So both Baldwin III and his brother and successor, Amalric, pursued these close marriage alliances. Why? Because with Ascalon in hand, with a quiet Nur ad-Din, the kings of Jerusalem began to intervene in Egypt. Amalric actually led a major expedition in 1163, and four others followed. These were efforts to prop up the then a ruling vizier, a fellow named Shawar, who was an official with the real power behind the throne. The Fatimid Caliph at this point was nothing but a figurehead. And what the vizier needed was Frankish military assistance against his domestic opponents. And so from 1163 through really 1169, Egypt was treated to the exceptional situation of a Western army marching across the shore, the deserts, the rim of the deserts of Sinai, entering the Nile Valley on invitation of the chief vizier, and fighting in the wars for his behalf. These were all to be rewarded with grand payoffs. It was said by Amalric that Egypt was a milch cow, and they were going to milk it for all it was worth. They also, these expeditions gave a unreal expectation of what the Crusaders could achieve in Egypt. That would have serious consequences in the 13th century, because when they were invited on most of these expeditions, they had the logistical support of the Fatimid government, and on two occasions they had Byzantine naval assistance, so it was fairly easy to move that army from Jerusalem into Egypt. That would not be the case in the time of the 5th and the 7th Crusade, where they're going to actually have to land and take ports. And they also got a very deceptive sense of what the fighting ability was of the army in Egypt. At this point, it was demoralized. On the other hand, Egypt offered good prospects. I mentioned at the very beginning of this course that the vast majority of the population were still Christians. They were Coptic, Monophysite Christians. There were small churches of Greek Orthodox in Alexandria. That the bureaucratic and merchant classes included many Sunni Muslims who had very little love for the Shiite government. That the army was comprised of various slave units, slave soldiers recruited from North Africa, from the European slave markets, and even Turks, so that if that regime could be toppled, Egypt could be turned into the support for Jerusalem. And it's at this point that the phrase of Jerusalem can be won at the banks of the Nile is born. And it's a notion that's going to persist thereafter and will have serious consequences on the strategy and direction of Crusades in the last century of the Crusades in the 13th century. Well, these efforts to take on Fatimid Egypt is an indication that to Western Europeans that whatever had happened at Edessa was just a passing event, that the Kingdom of Jerusalem was on the offensive. And many a pilgrim and many of a small mini crusade would have returned to Western Europe to report the impressive successes won in Egypt. But that success provoked a reaction. And I think in some ways there was a bitter irony in all of this. Nur ad-Din, who had suffered a severe illness, recovered, and devoted his life to building activities and propagating the faith through the construction of schools, that is, the madrasi, sponsoring scholars, was really forced into action. And in the later years of his reign, he had enough difficulty trying to impose his authority on his Turkish tribal regiments in the Al Jazeera, but he couldn't ignore the implications of a Crusader army moving into Egypt. And so, starting in 1163, with the first Crusader intervention, Nur ad-Din had to send in his own force, Usually this force was to support the opponents of the vizier Shawar. The first force was led by a veteran Kurdish officer, Shirka, who had proved his loyalty and his ability a number of times on the battlefield. And it's important for a moment to stress the background of Shirka and his nephew, Saladin. They were Kurds.